It's going down, and you're invited for what they selling. We ain't buying, there is no running, there is no hiding, there's only fighting or dying. It's going down, and you're invited for what they selling. We ain't buying, there is no running, there is no hiding, there's only fighting or dying.
It's Going Down is a digital community center from anarchist, anti-fascist, autonomous, anti-capitalist, and anti-colonial movements. Our mission is to provide an autonomous and resilient platform to publicize and promote revolutionary theory and action.
Go to itsgoingdown.org for daily updates. Check out our online store for ways to donate and rate and follow us on iTunes if you like this podcast. Okay, we're going to be talking today about repression from the Russian state against anarchists and anti-fascists. We're lucky enough to have somebody that's reached out. We're going to be talking to them today. You just want to introduce yourself real quick?
My name is Tanya, and I'm from Germany, but from Russia. And I'm from and one of the organizers of campaign of solidarity with people repressed under the so-called anarchist terrorist network. If it was short.
There you go. Well, broadly speaking, I think a lot of comrades, anarchists, anti-fascists in the U.S. know that there is definitely repression happening. But can you just talk broadly about the anarchist movement in today's age and also anti-fascism, how that ties into it?
Yeah, I would say that I cannot say that the right-wing movement is growing, but the politics, the right-wing-oriented politics of the state itself is growing, or cause the neo-Nazis, how they were before and how everybody is now remember, like when there were lots of murders. It's not going on right now because the neo-Nazis already also associated as an enemy of the state. And but the politics itself is quite patriotic, nationalist, and so that's why they're not so much like a street activity of anti-fascists, and it's more about culture, enlightenment, and stuff like this. So I would not say that there were like a big growth. Mostly the so-called Russian March, the main big event or street events, demos of neo-Nazis were now this year like 500 people in Moscow, something like this. So it's really small in comparison of like 5 years ago, it was several thousands. And anarchist movement is also not so big. Currently, because of the repressions, lots of people are leaving. And anyway, there are, of course, activities like some media projects and some educational things like libraries and publishing houses. So they're much more structured than before. In 90s, it was mostly like some street actions, and it's not so realistic right now to like organize actions. It's a super high punishment usually. And yeah, so like there are, of course, direct actions, mostly like put some banners somewhere. Yeah, this right. Is like this shortly. I don't know.
Are groups like Autonomous Action still around?
It's not a group. I think that it's now mostly like there's no centralized organization or movement that are good, I would say, from one point, because it was the autonomous movement that was, more like centralized and membership and so on, but more small groups in different cities.
Right.
And they are cooperating with each other. So this is how it looks. But right. Of course, there are not so many.
So you were saying, compared to 5 years ago, that the far right is not as strong, or it's not growing. That stuff is kind of recited, and that's because of the state has come down against it.
So the story was that, yeah, there were quite a lot of neo-Nazis and quite a lot of also violence and murders. And also they were used by government, and you could find traces in Kremlin or I don't know, some ministries or committees of people supporting some neo-Nazi groups. But even if we think that the neo-Nazis are stupid, but they also can understand that, like, government is going another way that they want to, and also, like the ACAB ideas are also growing in the neo-Nazi sphere. So that's why government also understood after the big protests in 2010, just in the center of Moscow, when there were thousands of right-wing ultras in the center of Moscow, really like super close to Kremlin. So then they understood that it also could be a problem. And that's why they were also repressed. And I would say that for a while, it was the main target of the state, the Nazis, and lots of people and lots of groups who were murdering migrant people who finally went into prison. That's why it's not so strong anymore, I would say. But the pro-Kremlin, also like Kazakhs, I don't know, some paramilitary organizations or movements who support Putin and love him, but quite also right-wing, they are growing and, yeah, they are supported by state right now. But it's not a classical neo-Nazi, how we imagine.
Can you, what was that group you just mentioned, the one that supports Putin and you said was right-wing?
Kazakhs, it's like they would say that they are an ethnos, but it's like a military. I don't know. It's like quasi nation, but it was several nations like 5 centuries ago who escaped the government and were living autonomously, but they were changing and changing, and now it's like a paramilitary nationality, but they are not really a nationality.
Well, let's talk about Putin for a little bit.
Okay, always a pleasure.
Well, no, I just want to know, I mean, like, broadly speaking, most of these far-right groups support him, or do they see him as somebody that doesn't go far enough? How do they see the state itself?
And the scary thing, I think, in general, in Russia now, that at some point Putin started really used actually this card of being anti-fascist. And he's calling by anti-fascism something that I would say is a fascism. Right. So, I would say that the classical right wings, I don't know, followers of Hitler or, I don't know, some pan-Slavic unions, something like this, or those who use violence on the streets, they are actually against Putin. And that's why they are also the enemies, because I think that at some point they understood that he's not enough against migrants or not enough right wing for them. So he's kind of, I don't know, he's just repressive to everyone. And at the same time, not really anti-fascist and not really fascist. So, yeah. And those who support, like, these pro-Kremlin groups, they are completely, mad, maybe, because they're also, like, one pro-Kremlin group who's doing lots of actions on the street. And they say something like, yeah, the laws of physics will not work if they are against the laws of Russia, things like this. So they are a bit mean.
Right. Mm. Somebody wanted me to ask this. Is there a growing movement of so-called national Bolsheviks, or people that are basically neo-Nazis, but they kind of have a, at least on the outside, kind of left-wing politics?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, this National Bolshevist Party, but I don't think, no, it's not growing. It's kind of also stable, not so many people in it. It's not active anyway for a long time, because the leader of the party, there was some split, and then they made some other party, and now even this party is not existing, so it's not something really alive.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Well, let's switch gears here and start talking about repression of anti-fascists and anarchists, and also just what people are doing about it. How did would you say this wave of repression began, and when did that happen?
I would say this, like, the new wave began exactly a year ago, before, like, it was half a year before elections, Putin's elections, and and the secret services at this time, they need to show their anti-terror activities. And so then it was this so-called anarchist terrorist network case in Penza and then in St. Petersburg. So it just, I think it's actually really connected to the elections and FIFA World Cup that was this summer in Russia. And when it's two so big events, of course, there will be some repressions. And so now there is 10 people, there are 10 people in this case accused, organizing a terrorist group who planned explosions during elections and FIFA World Cup to destabilize Russian society and start riots and stuff like this. So this is what they are accused in. And all of them were hardly tortured and threatened and forced to take a guilt and commit their guilt. And now also, when was it, 3 weeks ago or something like this, there was an explosion in the FSB building in Arkhangelsk. So self-explosion of one young guy who called himself an anarchist communist. And now it's the new wave. So, like, we are already kind of used to that sometimes people disappear and then appear with a story of being tortured with electric shock. And now, they are not cool, of course. And now it's like a door open, the Pandora box is open, that they really want to search everyone who is somehow connected to the anti-fascist and anarchist movement. And they even, like, made a search at some guy in Sochi who is a communist. And they said, we are doing a search because of this explosion in Arkhangelsk, and it's like 3,000 kilometers difference, and because the guy, Mikhail, who exploded himself, he called himself anarcho-communist, so they now need to repress anarchists and communists. So that's the logic how it goes. And it's, searchers and torturers and arrests and accusing people in terror or extremism or justification of terrorism and things like this.
So you were saying the first kind of wave began before the World Cup?
Yes, I would say that this is now from before the, last year.
Do you think that was just the state kind of seizing on an opportunity, like just, creating a narrative that they could run with and then they could go after this social movement?
I think it was kind of, there were some tension because there is a tension still, because there were massive protests from the beginning of the last year, because of the anti-corruption, there were some investigations of corruption, and so people start to go out on the street, and then there was a call for the so-called Russian Revolution from the nationalist side, and it was like that people at 5th of November should go out on the street and stay there until Putin will leave or something like this. So there were a lot of calls for protests for different reasons. Also, like, I don't know, truck drivers or at the old country and many, many things were going on. And that's why, of course, it was also a reason to start the repressions because of the election and the need to make an activity. And also there are people going out on the streets. And I think the first people were kind of arrested occasionally by association with this nationalist revolution. But then they understood that, it's an anarchist, so we can also do some cleanup of the anarchist field. Yeah.
So they just want to go after anybody they can, really.
Yeah, so now, I mean, it's what's going on with the anarchist movement and the repressions against anarchist movement is not unique in general, because everyone now who is not fitting to the Kremlin line, they are all repressed. Doesn't matter, right wing, left wing, anarchist, just some ethnic minorities that are against something or whatever.
What would you say? Is there a feeling within a large section of Russian society that very much is against, this state repression? I mean, how do a lot of people feel about it?
It's difficult to say, because I'm, of course, a bit in the marginal group, or like, I don't know, human rights defenders, anarchists, and so journalists. That's mostly those who I'm speaking with. And I don't know how the usual people, so-called, living. And of course, the biggest amount of people are just watching TV, and they see only the propaganda because there's nearly no independent media. And the rating of Putin is quite high anyway. Even it's like now was decreasing because of the rising up of the pension age. Mm-hmm. And it was really like a big tension because of this. And I think, of course, people understand, they mostly don't like the social politics because nothing getting better, but only new taxes and also rising up of pension age and stuff like this. But support of Putin is still quite high because people don't see alternative, and because he is still a symbol of stability and being a great country who do something important in the world. Yeah, so.
Well, let's talk now about the campaign against this repression. There's been calls for solidarity. I know that people in the U.S. Yeah. have held events, done different actions. There's actually been some press, like major newspapers and press outlets in the U.S. have written articles about anarchists and anti-fascists being repressed in Russia. I'm just curious if you want to talk about the campaign at all and what's gone into it.
Like the campaign itself is a big amount of super different people. But at the same time, we have an anarchist approach on how we communicate about the case and the repressions itself. And there were quite a lot of actions from many countries. And at the same time, the super special thing in this campaign, that relatives of people are united. They made a so-called relatives network just to troll the FSB. And they are quite cool. Like also when they were doing some solidarity action, the parents of these guys arrested just wrote a statement that they don't want any right-wing anyone come, and that it's not ethic, and that their kids are anti-fascists and they're anti-fascists themselves. So I don't remember any kind of campaign where relatives were so clear and so present. And, it's quite many people know about the case, even if about this case you cannot find anything in the official media. But it became like a symbol of tortures and injustice. And it's often when I hear some podcasts or interviews, people make it as an example. And the tortures itself became quite a topic in society, but I mean, maybe not the usual society, like everyone but people, I don't know, liberals, oppositionary, and so on. So this is a topic that's popped up. The state right now is that some people got the final accusations and the investigation is over. Some will have got soon, and then the courts will start, and it's like already two people accused to be an organizers of the terrorist network that is from 8 years of imprisonment up to life sentence. Other people would be probably accused in being participants of the terrorist network, and it's from 5 to 10 years of imprisonment. And you need to know that they actually didn't make anything. So they are accused just in organizing something that never made any act together. Yeah. Mm. And we have a website, repression.com, with it's on several languages, and there you can find lots of anyone can find lots of information, and we try to translate into English most of the most important texts and the personal stories of the people and their tortures. So
what do you think people outside of Russia, the best thing they can do to put pressure to stop this from happening? Is it rallies outside of embassies? I mean, what do you think that people should be doing?
Yeah, of course, we really appreciate rallies in general or any kind of protests or solidarity acts. And if it's in front of the embassies of the or the consulates, then it's like a direct message to the government, because in the inner protocol of embassies and consulate obliged them to inform the Ministry of Foreign Affairs about any actions in front. And yeah, collecting money is always good, because we need to pay for several lawyers, and it's just the case is even not started in the court. And we also support some families who lost their jobs, like some members of the families directly just lost job after the arrest. And also food parcels and stuff like this. And spreading the word in general anyhow, because we think it's important, and it's important to understand that this kind of patterns of repressions could be spread around the world, and it's not just somehow far away Russia somewhere. And of course it's always crazy, because this craziness could happen everywhere. And yeah, and if it will work out, any government could just take it over, this kind of methods.
Well, I just wanted
to... And letters, of course, writing letters.
Yeah.
But only in Russian, but yes.
So you're saying repression.com is the website people can go to?
Yes, there are all the data of people, their biographies and the addresses. You can send
great
letter, postcard, something. Yeah.
You know, people also wanted to ask, you know, do you have a perspective on the so-called Russiagate that's going on, that people in the U.S. are obsessed with, you know, supposed Russian interference in the U.S. election? Do you have any thoughts on this at all, or?
I don't know. I'm not really, I was not really thinking about it. I mean, from one side, I always think that they are not smart enough to do such kind of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, of course, like, Russian government think that US is an enemy. And, of course, they make espionage and anything, yeah, I don't know. But at the same time, it's quite stupid to right now to try to interfere with elections, because I don't think that from the any side, from the Democrats
Republicans.
Second point. Yeah, Republicans, that anyone is supporting. It could be a supporters of Russia, because we are already in such a level that I don't know. It's for me, just there's no good card for them anyway.
Right. I also wanted to ask, what do you think of the band Pussy Riot? They've made such a splash in the United States, and I mean, kind of like really, I think more than any other thing, brought attention, at least to mainstream people in the U.S., you know, Russian policies of repression. What is your thought on them?
For me, it's mostly a kind of a combination of artistic approach and political message. And I didn't really listen them or like them before the arrest.
Right.
And I think that it was not a purpose to be a super cool band. And I think when they were released from prison, then I like the text, I like the message they do, and I think I'm not agreeing with everyone, every of their position, I think personal, but at the same time, it's important what they're talking about, and it's important projects they do, also about prisons and about repressions, because it's not only the Pussy Riot, and do not only Pussy Riot, but it's also the Media Zona is media that right. talks about prison and repressions, and it's super cool. And also they protect prisoners' rights from every kind of prisoner, so this is cool. But I don't think that they are anarchists, but I think that of course they do a cool thing, and it's if they managed as a band to be known in US, and then at the same time not to be like Tattoo and just sing songs, but to spread the word about the situation, I appreciate, even if I'm not a fan.
Right. Awesome. Well, anything else you want to talk about? We strongly encourage people to check out that website. We will link to it. I know Crime Think has done an excellent job in writing some articles. And, like I said, there has in the past been calls for days of action, here in the U.S. on July 25th. There's, an international day of action for Antifa prisoners.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about or any other things that are coming up?
Not really. I just think that, as I'm now in Germany, there is a problem to speak about Russia. To criticize Russia because people think Putin is against US, and that's why we cannot fight against him. And I think that maybe some people could think if they are against the US government, then the Russia could be a friend.
That's so funny.
In this perspective, but it's not. But it's like it's completely, yeah.
Because in the US, the perception is that Trump loves Putin and that the two are just like best buddies. So that's the perception. And even it's strange because the Democrats, the supposed liberal party, are kind of pushing this like almost like a Cold War, like Russia's the enemy. Like how dare the president like buddy up to Putin? And, other people are saying like, well, Putin's actually bad because, he's authoritarian.
Okay. Yeah. But okay. In Russia, many people are disappointed that Trump is not supporting Russia enough because everybody hoped that
right.
he's a friend of Russia. And then now everything finally will be okay and we will be friends, and it's not happening. And so he's not the friend. No.
Right. Totally. Yeah,
it doesn't mean if he's not a friend. But yeah, anyway, they are both kind of, I don't know, devils from different perspectives.
This has been the It's Going Down podcast. Check itsgoingdown.org for daily updates, columns, action reports, and news. Go to itsgoingdown.org/shop to support us, and follow us on all social media platforms. IGD, your daily resource for insurgent proletarian life.